Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Magadan. Stay tuned and focused, and let Word of Life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Father, we thank you right now. We glorify, praise your name. You're wonderful, worthy, and worshipful. Lord, we ask that you just have your way. Father, have your way until sinners are converted. Have your way until the stubborn hearts are molded into hearts of flesh. Father, we thank you right now. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. Lord, I ask you that you would help me to articulate the word of God that even a child would understand. Father, I thank you right now for the blood of Jesus that covers us, cures us, cleanses us, and even connects us to you. Father, I thank you for the word of God that strengthens and sustains us. I thank you, Lord, not only for that, but the Holy Ghost who guides us and who you've given to us and who gives us what belongs to you, that we may share and partake and be joint heirs with Christ. We thank you. Thank you, Father. We ask you, God, that you give me clarity of thought and precision of speech. Father, I pray you touch my vocal cords in my throat that it will be able to endure until the day is over. Father, we thank you right now. Thank you, Father, for all that you've done and all that you're doing, that you're healing, that you're delivering, that you're setting free. We thank you, God. Father, after you've done all that you want to do in this service, after you've blessed our souls and lifted us into a place that you want us to be, Father, we'll be careful to give you the glory, the praise, and the honor. We thank you right now. We thank you, God. And we'll join in with the many winged seraphim, the many eyed cherubim, the chant, and declare one to another that you are holy, God. You're holy, God. You're holy, God. And your glory fills the earth. And we praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How awesome is our God. How mighty. How excellent. How excellent is our God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. A religious reset. I think that we need to be reset. You know, when things aren't functioning right, your computer's not functioning right, your cell phone's not functioning right, you need to do what? Reset. And I don't think that as a religious people, we are functioning right. And you know, I've been there, and I thank God for all of you that endured some of my preaching, even when it was real horrible. I'm not saying it is real good now, but thank you for enduring. But when I think about a religious reset, it's because I know we've talked about, oh, it's not about religion, it's about relationship, but religion brings us to a relationship with Christ. So we must have right religion. Even the Bible says that pure religion is when we can help and love the widow and the orphan and things like that. And so we must get back to a religious reset so that we can refocus ourselves and do what thus said the Lord. I think we've gotten off track because religion for us is what I can get out of God rather than what can I give God of my life. And so we need to stop for a moment and do a religious reset. And so this morning, the topic or the title of the message from the series will be The Samaritan's Example. Simple. The Samaritan example. It sounds good. That's a good excuse. But he ignored the man not because he was dead. He ignored the man because he didn't want to be bothered. You know how it is. We don't want to be bothered with other people. We don't sometimes want to be bothered with our own children. Amen, somebody. We don't want to be bothered with other people's problems. I got enough myself. I got enough bills myself. You can't be borrowing money from me. I got enough problems myself. I don't need to be up all night worrying with your problem because I need to rest. I got to work, take care of my house. I ain't got time for nobody else. Priest. But we're a royal priesthood. You know what? I don't fool with them church folks no way. They all messed up, and you ain't. We all need Jesus. The priest went to the other side, avoided him. I don't want nothing to do with this. I have the ability to help, but I won't. But I'm a priest. I'm religious. I know how to walk like a priest. I know how to serve at the temple. right? I know I received my portion from God, but I'm not going to share my portion. Okay. That's for me. I'm the priest. All right. Y'all not. All right. That's me. All right. Let me go a little further then. Likewise, the Levite. These are folks who work around the temple, folks that actually participate in temple worship. Mm-hmm. The Levite, he came to that place, and look what the Levite did. The Levite looked at him, examined him. You know how church folk do. We examine people. We look at people to see what they're all about. We find out what's all wrong with him, don't we? We find out what's wrong with them, why it happened, who could have did it, and why they land in the state they in. We know why they're there, but we're not going to help them. We examine them. We see every wound. We see every hurt, every heartache, every heartbreak. We see it, talk about it, examine it, but we don't do anything about it. Isn't that like a Levite? All right. Ain't nobody else but me. He said the Levite did the same thing. And guess what he did? He went on the other side, avoided him. Left him by himself. And then verse 33 says there was a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had what? Compassion. The word compassion means love. He loved him. Now, he had compassion or showed love to somebody he didn't even know. He showed love to people he didn't even know. All right. Here's an example. He says, and when he went and he went to him and bound up his wound. Notice what he did. He didn't wait for the man to call him. He saw the man in need. He went to the man. The man needed something. He went to the man and he decided that I'm going to help him. Amen. Amen. So he began to intercede. He began to take authority here and began to acknowledge the man. So the Samaritan acknowledged him, but not only did he acknowledge him, look what he did. He anointed him. He anointed him. He cleaned him up. He did what it took to get this man off the ground. We leave folks on the ground. We leave them in the state that they're in. We pass by them and not even give them a word. We pass by them. Notice what he did. He not only took oil, but he gave wine too. Oil and wine. Oil represents the anointing. The wine represents the restoration of the joy of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Right? And so he gave him something. He put hope back into this man. That he wouldn't die in the state that he was in. How many of us are giving people hope that they won't die in the state that they're in? How many times have you told somebody you don't have to stay like you are? There is a way. There is somebody, and his name is Jesus. Do I have any witnesses here? I came to tell somebody this morning that you don't have to stay in the state that you're in. I'm here to pour oil in your wound and wine in your wound, get you all ready so that you can heal up. That man started the process. The Samaritan started the process of healing. And we, the church, have the ability to start the process of the healing of people. But we choose to go the other way. We choose to ignore him. We choose to examine and say, not my problem, and keep on going. Reset. The Samaritan's example makes us shameful. Because we are the religious folks, just like the Levites and the priests, with our holy garb on. We walk around with our suits looking good. We got all our stuff. We know how we carry our Bibles. We know how to quote scriptures. But do we know how to help people in need? All right. He bound him up, poured oil and wine in on him, and set him on his own beast. I like this part because we ain't going to do this. I'm riding. I see a man, I help him up, and I walk while he rides. You ain't finna give up your seat. We can't even get, you get mad at somebody sitting in your seat at church. Let them park in your spot. You mad two times because they're in your spot and you in my seat. Come on now. Tell the truth, shame the devil.
We get upset if somebody get in our spot, and we're not going to put somebody, we're not going to ride, you ain't finna ride in my car. You ain't finna ride, you better get on, I'll go get the truck, I'll come back and you get on the back. But we're not putting you in the front. See, I can rinse the back of that truck off, but I'm not finna get you in the front. And, you know, that's how we are. Amen, y'all. Amen, church. It's all right. Amen, myself. Well, I'm begging for amens this morning. So he took him and he put him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. He put him on his own beast. He walked while the man rode, took him to the inn or the hotel or the bed and breakfast, whatever you want to call it, and he took care of the man as long as he could do it. But I didn't help you last week. I'm not helping you this week. You need to get up off your lazy behind and go do something. You were sick last week, but you're ready now. Go. You know, that's how we feel. Come on, be honest now. I know I ain't the only one. And let me admit, I'm the first one. Can anybody else admit that?
Amen.
I'd help you out. I'd help you out last month. Don't come back next month. You should have figured something out about you can go pick up cans, you can wash cars, all this grass out here, you can't mow grass. What, the man's sick though, he's sick. He took care of him. I know this is different for y'all. Y'all want me to holler or something? He says, then he tells him on the morrow when he departed, he took 2 pence, 2 days' wage. In that day, 2 pence, a pence was a day's wage. He took 2 days' wage. Now, how many of you work 5 days a week? You make about $40 a day, average, just say that. And how many of you would have took $80? That's 2 days of pay. I work 2 days, and this is what I got in 2 days, and I'm giving it to somebody. 2 days' wages, and he gave it to the, he says on the morrow when he departed, he took 2 pence, and he gave them to the host and said to him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. He said, now the one thing I like about the Samaritan, he wasn't just putting on for show. Because the fact that he was able to tell the innkeeper that I'm paying this, but whatever more it takes to take care of him, I'll pay it when I get back. The innkeeper must have said he got good credit with me. His name had to have a good standing. Lord have mercy now. And that's something we need to take example here. The Bible says a good name is better than a precious ointment. In other words, my name is better than you putting medicine on me. Amen. Come on and say hallelujah. So this man had a good name, so much so that the innkeeper trusted him. He was a trustworthy person, but he was a Samaritan. Look at what Jesus is saying. If some of us religious folk, our name's all messed up. People can't trust us, and when people say good things, they gotta say, oh, but you gotta watch them though. Your name shouldn't follow your name. That shouldn't follow your name. Oh, yeah, but yeah, they good, but you make them mad, they'll cuss you out. That shouldn't follow your name. You ought to have a good, trustworthy name. Your name ought to be good. All right. Yeah, they good, but they'll lie to you. Ooh, they know their Bible, but they don't do nothing but lie. He said, good name. This man, he trusted him, and he paid him. He left, and he said, when I come again, I shall repay thee. And then we see here where Jesus asked him, he said, which one, he said, was the neighbor among those that fell among thieves? And he said, it had to be the Samaritan. So what Jesus was trying to let him know, that y'all hadn't been good neighbors. You're religious, but you haven't been a good neighbor. You're religious, you say you love God, but you don't love people. Oh, hallelujah. And that's why I'm in the middle. I'm not Democrat or Republican. I'm not either one. I can say that publicly. I'm not either one. But that's why I can't understand how you can take away all the stuff that's been set to help people who are poor, people who are elderly and can't help themselves. You can't tell me you're the party of Christians and you do such things. That's a lie. That's a lie. So you know, and so even the Democrats, I mean, it doesn't matter which side people are on. There are people who don't care about people. And that's totally wrong.
Amen.
If we're saying we're Christians, amen?
Amen?
Oh, Lord, have mercy. So here it is now. Let me give you, I went through the story and I brought it to apply to us today. Now, let me give you another look at the story. Another look at the story. The man that has fallen among thieves is a sinner. He's fell among thieves. He's lost all he's had. He's wounded because of sin. He was leaving where he was in God. Now he's going to Jerusalem, which is the world, is the place of sin. And on his way to the world, on his way to find his spot in the world, he loses everything trying to find himself in the world, trying to leave worship, knowing that he was a person that should have been staying in Jerusalem, in the place of worship. He lost it, and nobody would help him, not even the religious folks would help him. But then there was one Samaritan that came by and helped him, that brought him out from his sin and healed the wound of sin and brought him and comforted him in the end. Amen? That's something, how that reflects on our lives. I can tell you that I was a sinner. I can tell you that on my way from Jerusalem, I fell among thieves. I can tell you that it wasn't easy because there were some folks that beat me up. There were some religious folks that I had a guy that even after I started preaching, he kept saying he wasn't called to preach because he thought my life was so bad. He told the pastor, don't trust him. No, he ain't going to stay with it. The pastor apologized to me and said, you know, I shouldn't have listened to this guy. Isn't that something? How people, that was a religious person though. Isn't that amazing how we can do that to people and not even think twice about it? And there's no conviction. And I don't understand it, but I'm so glad the Holy Ghost will convict me. That, you know what? That's how I know I'm saved. That's how I know I'm saved. The Holy Spirit, when I'm wrong, boy, he come in there real quick. Say, now you know you was wrong. I mean, speak loud, just like you know you was wrong. Inside of me, it sounds like it's amplified. I'm thinking everybody know I was wrong. But it's just me and him. It's just me and the whole, everybody. I think everybody know I was wrong. I'm looking around thinking that everybody know I was wrong. But it was just the Holy Spirit to let me know that you need to fix that. And you know what I found out? That if you correct somebody when they're wrong, at the point that they're wrong, they'll always remember the correction. And the Holy Spirit, he does that for us. Now, let me give you another look at it. I looked at the right. Let's look at the left. The man that fell among thieves, and I'm done here. The man that fell among thieves was Adam. Look at that. Adam was in the place of worship. He was in the Garden of Eden where he had an open door to God on a daily basis. God would come and commune with him, and he fell. And he fell among the what? Thieves. The thief, the Bible says, there's only one thief, and he's the devil. That he comes to what? Steal, kill, and to destroy. That's what he did to this man. He's tried to steal from him. He tried to kill him and to destroy him, right? And so when I looked at that and I saw that the man was half dead, that means that Adam, when he ate of the fruit, when he fell from grace, he became half dead. He is already, oh, Lord, have mercy. He was already halfway dead, and he was a matter of time before the fullness of his death would manifest. Do I have any witnesses? And so Adam was half dead. He fell among thieves. But then here it was, the priest represents the prophets, and the prophets couldn't help him. And the Levites represents the law. The law couldn't help him to get back alive. I wish I had somebody. The law couldn't soothe his wounds. The law couldn't restore him for what he was. And the priests or the prophets couldn't prophesy enough to get him back to where he needed to be. But all of a sudden, I wish I had somebody, what the priest couldn't do and what the Levite couldn't do, I found out that there was a good Samaritan. Now, who is this Samaritan? It's somebody by the name of Jesus. But if you don't remember, let me remind you, Jesus was the one who came down through David. He came down through 39 prophets in 42 generations. He was David's root and branch. I wish I had somebody. In other words, because David had a Moabites in his family, he was of mixed race. I wish I had somebody. He was somebody who was a little bit mixed up. The Samaritan is the person who's been rejected, the person who is not respected. I wish I had somebody. Until this day, the Jews don't respect Jesus. The Jews don't accept Jesus. I wish I had somebody. We got to understand who it is that we're looking at. We got to understand what it is we're looking at. This is not just a parable Jesus is telling. He's telling us the story of mankind, how mankind fell, but all of a sudden when the law couldn't help him, because we can try to do the 613 laws of the Jews and we still can't have eternal life. Preach up in here. We can try to stop eating catfish and stop eating crab and crawfish. Oh, come on and say, man, stop eating shrimp, and all of a sudden we still can't get eternal life. It might help us live a little longer if we don't eat it, but it's not going to stop us from eternal life. I wish I had somebody in here. We can't keep the 613 laws. I know somebody said, well, let me do a little bit of this. Well, a woman is unclean. Well, what about a man? A man, when he has a bump on his face from shaving, he can't preach the word of God. What about a man when he has a broken bone? He can't preach the word of God. We can't get back under the law, because if you take yourself under a little bit of the law, then it makes you subject to the entire law. But Galatians 5:22, it tells us that the spirit, the fruit of the spirit, and he says that against those who have the fruit, there is no law. And so I'm not subject to the law. Why? Because I'm in a high place. I'm above the law. I wish I had somebody in this house. You got to understand, you're above the law if you're in Christ, because Christ is not subject to the law. Okay, and the Bible says that he took him, and let me give you more of this. He said he took him and he put him on his own beast. The Good Samaritan Jesus put him on his own beast. In other words, he carried the burden. How many know that Jesus carried the burden for you and I? How many know that? Oh, I wish I had somebody. Notice what he came with, though. He came with oil and he came with a wine. And when the Bible says that Jesus came, he was the anointed of God. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he hath anointed me. I wish I had a few people in the house. Not only that, but we understand that the wine is the Holy Spirit. He said, I'm going to heal you with the power of the Holy Ghost. Come on and say amen here. Oh, but he took him on. He took him and he burdened down with him, took him to the end. And when I start looking at it, I say, all of this is all about Adam and Jesus. Do you know that's what it's all about? The Bible is about two people. The Bible is about Adam and the second Adam, Jesus Christ. Come on and say amen. And so when I look at all of that, I found out that when he got to the end, who is the keeper? We got to think about it. Who is the keeper? The Holy Ghost is the keeper. Oh, come on and shout amen here. Because when he put him in there, he took care of him. And he comforted him. And he kept him right there in that place. But then when I look at the 2 pence, I say 2 pence, 2 days' wage. The Bible says that he is going to come back on the what? Third day, when he rose up from the dead on the what? Third, when I come back. He said, behold, I come quickly, and my reward, I'm bringing it with me. I wish I had somebody. And he said, I'm going to pay you according to your works. There's too many of us in here today that don't see that he's going to pay us according to our works. Maybe your work was good, or maybe your work was bad. Let me back up. Maybe he gave you 2 pence. In other words, he's giving you talents and gifts so that you can take care of the wounded. He's giving you talents and gifts so that you can restore those who are half dead back to life. I wish I had somebody in the house. Come on and give God some praise here. Oh, glory be to God. Oh, glory be to his name. But I came to help you to reset your religion so that you'll pay attention to what the Samaritan did. Anybody want to be like this Samaritan? Anybody want to be like what Jesus did? Jesus said, this life that I lay down, he said, no man take my life, but I lay it down for my friends. Do I have anybody in the house that say, I'm with Jesus here? He laid his life down for me. Oh, come on and give God some praise. Greater love than no man than this. Anybody know that he loves you? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish but have everlasting life. I'm so glad today that Jesus took up an old rugged cross that was my sin and yours, that he bared the burden
burden for us. Oh, come on and say amen here. But while he was going up the hill called Calvary, see, he was coming from down the hill, trying to get back up the hill so we can be in a high place again. But he stumbled and fell. Simon of Cyrene picked up the cross, and somebody put pen to paper and said, must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? There is a cross for everyone, and I know there's a cross for me. Come on and shout amen here. Shout hallelujah. But when Jesus went to the cross, the Bible says they put nails in his hands and nails in his feet. They hung him up between heaven and earth, but they forgot what he said. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Come on and shout amen here. And you know what? I'm a witness to it, because he drawed me to him one day when I was sinking deep in sin. I saw him hanging on the cross for my sin. Oh, come on and say amen here. But he didn't stay on the cross. The Bible said that he hung his head in the locks of his shoulders, and he died. But before he died, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Do you feel like forgiving people today? Do you feel like you ought to forgive your enemies, the ones that lied on you, the ones that talked about you? Can you forgive them this morning? Come on, say, I forgive them. Lord, forgive them, for they didn't understand what they were doing to themselves. I wish I had somebody. But when he died, the sun refused to shine. Oh, come on and say amen. Darkness covered the earth. The earth began to quake. And the centurion soldier preached the word and said, surely. He said, surely. He said, surely. This is the Son of God. But the Bible says that he didn't have life insurance. He didn't have any plot in the graveyard. But he had a borrowed tomb that Joseph Arimathea, that he took the body of Jesus, him and Nicodemus wrapped it up, and they put it in Joseph's new tomb, and they put a stone in front of it, and they set guards in front of it, and the Sanhedrin counseled with him, and they put a seal on it. But when the earth began to quake, I want you to understand, can't nothing hold Jesus. Go ahead and put a rock in front of the grave. Go ahead and put soldiers in front of the grave. Go ahead and put a seal in front of the grave. Because when it's time, can't nothing hold Jesus back. When it's time for your healing, can't nothing hold him back. When it's time for your deliverance, can't nothing hold him back. When it's time for the end of the world, can't nothing hold him back. Come on and shout yes in here and give God some praise. Give God some glory. He was in the earth like Jonah was in the whale's belly for 3 days and 3 nights. But early, that's why we come to church early. Say early. That's why we come on Sunday morning, because it's the Lord's day. It's the day that he got up. I know the Sabbath is on Saturday, but I serve the Lord all days, for 7 days a week. And on Sunday morning, I go give him some praise among the other saints. I wish I had somebody. Come on and shout yes here. Early Sunday morning, he got up. With all power, somebody say yes. So now I don't have to die. He said, death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? So whenever he cracks the sky, the dead in Christ, they'll rise first. And we that are alive and remain will be caught up. Let me give you a warning. If you ain't caught up now, you won't be caught up later. I'm too caught up with the Lord to worry about the mess and the stress. I'm too caught up with the Lord to worry about what they said about me. Come on and shout yeah. Shout glory. Anybody know that he said, I'm coming back. the Samaritan is coming back. He said, you ain't going to worship in Jerusalem, but my spirit is going to be in you. And when I come back, I'm coming to receive the ones that's been sealed with the Holy Ghost. Come on and shout yes. Won't he come back when you least expect it? Come on and give God some praise. Give God some glory. Come on and shout yeah. Shout yeah. I may not.